The following message was recorded at New Beginnings Church in Slidell, Louisiana. Please feel free to duplicate and share this message as you feel led. And you are invited to visit us at New Beginnings Church at 330 Robert Boulevard, Slidell, Louisiana, 70458. Our Sunday services start at 10 a.m. and our Wednesday evening services at 7 p.m. If you have any questions, call us at 985-781-4663. And may God richly bless you as you listen to this message.
That baggage most often, not every single time, but most often deals with other people and relationships that have gone awry for some other reasons. I've been in Louisiana most of my life. I lived in Florida for 7 years. But I recall most of my experiences in Louisiana down in the Chaffalosh Spillway going fishing. I don't know if you've ever been over there. Some of the most beautiful part of this country is down there. There's a whole lot of other places, but it's easy to get lost. It's easy to lose your way, even in an area that you're most comfortable with. See, y'all not paying attention with me because you're cleaning up my mess. Taking care of those relationships. Thank you. I appreciate that. But you know what I have found? That even in the places where I'm most comfortable, I have to make sure that I stay on course. I have to make sure that I stay on track, whether it's with a relationship or with my job or with the world or with Christ. I have to stay on track. I have to maintain a course setting. If I don't, I'm going to have issues that I'm going to carry with me through the rest of my life. Some of you are here today and you have those issues that you're carrying with you. That you would call them baggage. Baggage that happened through a broken relationship or through a lost job or whatever you might fill in that blank with. But how do we deal with that? I want to encourage you this morning. Take your Bibles and turn to Ephesians chapter 6. And I want to talk about being able to deal with and to navigate through the emotional baggage in our lives by staying on the course that God has set for us in His Word. Ephesians chapter 6, beginning in verse 10. If you would you stand with me in honor of God's Word? Finally, be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you may take your stand against the devil's scheme. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything to stand, stand firm. And I'm going to stop right there. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the encouragement that you have given us through the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that it is completely perfect and devoid of error. Lord, that we might be able to find what you have for us to live, and then by the power of the Holy Spirit that resides in us, that teaches us and applies these things to our lives. Lord, we thank you again that you might speak to us, and Lord, that we might hear from you and see what things are that we have never seen before. Lord, we commit our hands, our hearts, our minds into you, and we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. We have had the privilege so far of having 5 grandchildren. Our youngest is living with us. Isn't that special? He just turned 11 months old. Now, I'm sure most of you understand this. Our home had not been all that baby-proofed for quite some time. Our baby just turned 19, so we didn't have to do all those things or worry about where we put the china or the glassware or whatever it was. And so this has been a real challenge because now we've gone back to all those childproof days of putting the locks on the doors and all the things that you worry about. But we're watching Aiden is his name. We brought him here a couple weeks ago. We're watching him grow. And it's interesting because I'm kind of going back through it again. We always look forward to those dynamic changes in our children's lives. You know how it is. You can't wait for them to walk, and as soon as they learn how to walk, you say, I wish you wouldn't run away, right? You say, I can't wait for you to talk. And then they begin to talk and you say, I wish you'd shut up. Be quiet. You know, we tend to deal with that the rest of their lives. But we watch them, but we're careful to make sure that they're learning through the process. You know, I don't know how you dealt with things, but I always wanted to let my children fall and hurt themselves. Not scarred, but it wouldn't harm me if I watched my child fall and in such a way maybe hurt themselves a little bit so that they might learn not to repeat that process, okay? Because pain has a way of teaching you what not to do, especially if you don't want to experience that again. And so we watch and we're careful to not necessarily baby him, and I didn't necessarily baby my children. We don't want them to be completely harmed, but we watch them through the course of their lives. We watch them because they are just babies. They're just learning. They're just growing. And I want to talk to you about this because it's something that we as believers have gone through. Now, some of you are long in your journey in Christ. I accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior when I was 13 years old. It was in 1977. We were at Glorieta, New Mexico. We were on the second floor of the Thunderbird Apartments. And I accepted Christ into my heart and my life. At that time, and it was a remarkable experience. I don't know how many years ago was that, but now 40, a long time. Thank you, Shannon. Appreciate that. It was a long time ago, and so my journey is quite lengthy. Some of your journey is a little shorter. Some of it's, you know, it's every one of us have those times, and we go through. I, just like anyone else, went through the same thing spiritually as our children go through when they're infants. When you learn and you grow and you stumble and you fall and you do things that you kind of learn, I don't think I'm going to do that again. Now, for some reason, maybe it's my lack of tolerance or patience. I don't know. Maybe, you know, when you have your children, you have all that. But when you get grandparents, you send them home. This Aiden has an ability to withstand pain. Poppy can slap his hand until it turns red and he'll just sit there and smile at you. No matter what you do. It's just because that's just how he's wired, and he makes noises like that. Don? See, you can all turn around and look at him. Okay, well, I just wanted y'all to turn around and look at Don. But because of that, we learn a capacity spiritually. We learn how to deal with things in ways that come as a result of our experiences. Now, some people, interestingly enough, are a lot like this relationship. They'll develop relationships and something will happen, even spiritually. They may disappear. Or they may sever that relationship and say, I don't ever want to have anything to do with it. You see, just like physical relationships, spiritual relationships have the same attributes. They carry some of the same issues that we even create spiritual baggage. Not just emotional baggage, we create spiritual baggage. As we go through life, we go through it and we deal with these things that we may call defeats. Sometimes we even go so far as we become basket cases. We say, I just don't want to deal with it. I just don't want to have anything to do with these issues in my life, so I'm going to leave them alone. This morning, I want to talk to you about three ways to deal with and to handle emotional baggage, spiritual baggage in your life according to God's Word. There's three things that I want to help you with in developing these characteristics that we should have. And it actually has to do with the scripture we just read. But I want to talk to you about the first one. Life tells us that we need to, number one, dress accordingly. We need to dress accordingly. Wonderful Louisiana weather. We wake up one day, it's 78 degrees in the middle of November, and the next day it's 32. So what is my tendency is every morning I get up and check the weather and I say, what's the temperature going to be like today? And I dress accordingly, right? That's what we should do. We go through life and we consider our circumstances and we dress according to the way that we're going to face our day. The scripture tells us how we are to dress accordingly, and that is put on the full armor of God. Scripture tells us how we are supposed to dress. Now, some of us don't consider that. Sometimes we just jump up and we go out about our daily life and we have no consideration for putting on the full armor of God. Now, if you read on through the rest of Ephesians, it would tell you about what that specific dress is supposed to be about. How you're supposed to dress, what you're supposed to wear accordingly. But yet we struggle every day with what it is that we're going to put on for a multitude of reasons. Now, I want to talk to you in this regard because we are prone to dress not only according to the circumstances weatherwise. A lot of times we dress accordingly, according to those who we're going to see or what we're going to do. Now, if you're going to go out and battle a fire, I would hope that you would put on the right armor, right? You would put on the right clothing. If not, you're going to be consumed by that fire. If you're going to go out and go into a battle, I would hope that you go out with the right kind of clothing on. And yet, we go through this world, and clothes are a big part of what we face every day. I loved my girls in their teen years. It was a tremendous challenge. You all know why, right? They had to have what everybody else was wearing. And our one of our best places, I mean, the most fanciest places we could go was Jacques Pignet's. They get through. You know, it was either that or the dollar store or the yard sale. They didn't always have what they wanted. Why did they want that fancy stuff? Now, every once in a while, we got them something nice, you know, when everything got right. But we didn't always have what's best for them. They were concerned about how their peers were going to look at them. They were concerned that they didn't have on the right clothes. They didn't have on the right designer clothes. And so they were real concerned about what it was that they were looking at around, looking at those around them and how they were judging them accordingly. Now, folks, I want us to be real careful and cautious to not fall into the same trap. Spiritually, we are commanded to put on the full armor of God. But very often in the world in which we reside and that we go around, we're so cautious and careful and timid, we don't want people to know that we're a believer. We don't want to put on that designer in Christ. I am in Him. This is the armor that God has placed in me. You see, when we come to Him in salvation, we take off the grave clothes of death and we put on robes of righteousness. We're no longer adorned with sin, but we're made righteous in the very eyes of God. We're no longer colored red by our sin, but washed clean and pure by the purifying, perfect blood of the spotless Lamb. Now, if we have all of those things, why would we be so intimidated about putting on the full armor of God when we go out into the world? Because we don't want to be condemned. We don't want people looking at us and saying, oh, there comes the Jesus people. They're going to judge me. They're going to look at me. And yet, we are commanded to dress appropriately. We need to dress appropriately. And I think that's why so many relationships go through such difficult times, is because when we get into these hard, difficult issues that we face with one another, instead of having on the proper clothing, we end up acting in the flesh, don't we? Now, I've never done such a thing. I've always done exactly what I'm supposed to do. Well, I will say that's not correct. And 99.99% of the time, I was not clothed appropriately. Because instead of allowing my heart and my mind to be considered of what the Holy Spirit was trying to bring me through in that relationship experience, I acted out of fill in the blank. You see, I think we must recognize that if we're going to deal with the emotional baggage and the spiritual baggage in our lives, we need to make sure that we are dressed appropriately by putting on the full armor of God. You see, because we're still wrestling with the old sinful nature. Just like our kids and just like those people who are concerned and consumed with what other people think, oftentimes spiritually we get concerned and consumed with what other people think about us spiritually as well. Do you know the devil is the accuser? You see, once we're saved, our salvation is secured. The Bible says that we are written in the palm, our names have been inscribed in the palms of God's hand. There is nothing that will separate me from the love of God. Nothing. And because that is secure, because that is set, that is firm, it's confirmed, that will never, ever go away. Yet I'm still walking around in an old sinful body. I'm still struggling with that old sinful nature, and the accuser is constantly going around saying, you're not wearing the right clothes. You're not looking like you're supposed to look. People are going to ridicule you. They're going to laugh at you if you pray over your meal. They're going to laugh at you if you do the right thing in your job, even though everybody else is doing the wrong thing and leaving an hour before quitting time and signing in the right their time when they're supposed to be there for. You name it. The accuser is going to constantly come for us. They're constantly going to challenge us and struggle us because we're wrestling against that old sinful nature. It entices us and it tells us, look, man, here are your old clothes. I had them cleaned and pressed just for you. You remember when we used to go out and drink? Wasn't that fun? You remember the headaches and the sickness and the, don't worry about that. You remember it was great fun. You remember the people that we used to hang out with? Man, those guys knew how to party. And the enticement is going to be there. And folks, let me tell you something. It's going to be there from now through eternity. It never stops being an enticement. Don't fool yourself for a second. And just because your pastor stands in this behind this sacred desk in this pulpit, don't ever think that he is not fooled or tried to be fooled by the devil's schemes. You need to always pray for your pastor. Always lift him up and his family and encourage him and know that he is struggling with the same things that we're all struggling with. Because the same Holy Spirit that lives in you lives in me and lives in our pastor. And so we need to be reminded of that. We need to dress appropriately and dress the way that we must go on through. You see, just as you must process a day's grooming habits and how you're going to dress and how you're going to prepare yourself, we need to also process the spiritual grooming habit by putting on the full armor of God. But there's a second thing that we must do if we're going to deal with the emotional baggage. We need to talk affordably. Look at verse 12 with me. Keep your Bibles open. Verse 12 says this. It says, for our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers and the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in heavenly realms. Languages intrigue me. I don't know how many of you know a second or third or fourth language. I'm sure some of you can speak something. Unfortunately, when I was down in Golden Meadow, I learned two phrases of French, and it was je faire and allons manger, and all that means is I'm hungry, let's eat.
You know, they're
very important. I must tell you that. And unfortunately, I said them one too many times. But, you know, it's just part of what people go through. They learn different languages. And it encourages me. It impresses me. It takes a lot of practice and trial and learning and education. I just don't have to do it. I just can't do it because I have trouble enough with English. I struggle enough with that. It's really difficult. And people who have a native tongue where they can speak another language, it fascinates me. It always fascinates me when a 3 or 4 year old can speak another language. Y'all haven't learned me yet. 3 or 4 year old. It's their language. It's just not mine. Do I have to explain these things? I just wanted to be sure about that. Okay, all right, I'll write that out later. We'll use a website. You know what's really interesting, though? English, actually, what I understand, is one of the more complex languages. You know, we have one single word that has 2 or 3 or more definitions, the same exact word. It all depends on the context. And I think if Mr. Webster were alive today, he'd be pulling out his hair trying to put together today, especially in our desire to be politically correct and all these new words that we come up with, although I like to bring up new words, it's always fun because we're constantly thinking about what a person is saying. And if we're listening, sometimes we're already starting to cultivate our response according to what they're saying. Language is an important part of what we do. One of the reasons why I have not learned another language, not only because it's so difficult, is because I wouldn't want to take a statement or a sentence and mispronounce it and offend someone else who might be able to understand it. I wouldn't want to say something, and we've all seen these jokes where you say something and it all comes out completely different. I just don't want to take that chance. I want to be able to say something that I know exactly what I'm saying. Now, I'm presenting all this because language is a display of what's inside of us. Even those who are deaf have a language. They are able to speak with their hands, and some who can't do that speak in the typewritten word. We have language that's constantly around us, and people are constantly thinking about that. But I wonder sometimes, do we always consider the words that are coming out of our mouth? Do we think about what they're doing and what their content is? Are the words that are proceeding out of our mouth building people up? Are bringing people down? Are the words that are coming out of our mouths edifying or destroying? You see, because I can take any one of those relationships and with a simple sentence sever that relationship. And most likely will never come back. All because of words. Not because of what I did. Not because of how I was dressed. But because of the words that came out of my mouth. Now, I want to say something to you, and I'm going to say it with a little bit of intrepidation. And this is not an indictment, but I want to say this because the world has this opinion that some of the meanest people in the world go to church every week. Because they're hard? No. Mostly because of what they say. Because people are not guarding their tongue. They're not being sure that what they're saying is appropriate. They're not sure that what they're hearing is something that they are hearing that encourages them. What they're actually hearing is something that is discouraging them. Folks, we need to be very careful with our words around each other, but also around the world, because they're listening. They're listening for every little nuance in our speech. They're looking at us and saying, what did he just say? Did I hear you right? Aren't you a preacher? Aren't you a man of God? And what did you just say? Now, just because I'm a pastor, they don't look at people in the pew, right? People are not looking at you, right? They're not listening to what you're saying. They only listen to us reverends. Yeah, right. People are constantly doing that. Now, I don't know if you know or follow politics a whole lot. I'm into politics and the world, especially today. And it was interesting just one little thing. How in a conversation, and I'm not endorsing anybody yet. I'll do that later. But Sarah Palin was having a conversation that was taped, and in the course of the conversation, she said the same thing about 7 different times. It was exactly the same every single time. One time in the course of the conversation, she inverted her words. One time. Within just a few seconds, she came back and said, oh, I misspoke. The press took that one misspoken sentence and went ballistic. Now, that's silly, isn't it? Don't you ever think that will not happen to us. Because we need to talk appropriately. Don't ever think people aren't hearing and listening with an attuned ear. Remember the one who is constantly out to destroy us? You remember him? You think he's not only looking at your dress? He's over with this guy who's looking for a reason to turn away from God. He's got his hearing volume on 100, and he's listening to your every word. Even though his back's to you and he's doing another task, he's listening for any reason to turn away from God, because the devil is accusing us as well. Folks, it's so important that we make sure that what we say is encouraging, that it's going to be building people up and building up the world around us. Now, that's not to say that we won't slip up, that we won't fail, that in the midst of a conversation where we said something exactly the same a dozen times, that all of a sudden we get it inverted in, not specifically, not on purpose. It was just one of those things that happened. I want to challenge you with something when it comes to your speech. Would you take a pencil and a paper and write out a conversation that you were having with someone and send it to yourself? What would you think of that conversation when you got it in the mail? Would you be encouraged by it? Would it build you up? People remember things. People think of things. People know things. And folks, God wants us to have relationships that are encouraging and that build people up and that bring people to a place where they can't go on their own, because we've dressed appropriately and we've spoken appropriately. The third thing I want to talk to you about, the last thing, is we need to walk accordingly. Look at verse 13. We need to walk accordingly. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when... No, wait a minute. Mine says if. So that if the day of evil comes... Is that what yours says?
No.
Yours says...
That you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand.
You mean it's if the evil day comes, right? Oh, okay. So you're saying it up there. That's not fair. That one says when, right? So does mine. It says when the evil day comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you've done everything to stand, stand firm. There is not a question whether or not we're going to face difficulties, evil, issues, problems. We are facing them and have faced them and will continue to face them. The question is, how are we standing in the midst of the trials? Are we supposed to sit down? Are we supposed to pay someone to do it for us? Are we supposed to get a committee together and try and formulate a plan or a particular direction? No, he says, stand. Just do it. Do what you are supposed to do because it is the right thing to do. I grew up with five boys. Y'all have heard this before: Ray, Ricky, Ronnie, Rocky, and Reggie. And we, my mom and dad are from Kentwood. You know where Kentwood is? Now, they are 10 miles out of Kentwood. And I mean, Kentwood doesn't get the Grand Ole Opry until Monday morning. So it was Tuesday before it got out there to where Mom and Daddy lived. It's just, I mean, just out in the world. It was just way out. Beautiful area, though. Real pretty, pretty area. By my grandmother's place, she owned about 180 acres. They farmed it. It was typical farming community. But one year, they tilled it all flat, and they were going to let it replenish itself. Just one of those turnover years. And they planted ryegrass out in it. And I was just a young kid. I couldn't have been more than 10 or 11 years old. And it was just coming up. And y'all seen how a field of ryegrass is just gorgeous. And I was at that time in my life, you know what I'm talking about, just kind of a little boy, and my brothers doing their thing. And I said, man, that is so beautiful. And it was a beautiful day. And I just decided, I'm going to go out there, and I'm going to lay down in the middle of that, and I'm going to look up at the sky, and it's going to be so pretty. And I did. I laid down in the middle of that, and that was the lumpiest, hardest ground. I laid on a rock. It wasn't as pretty as I thought it was going to be. It wasn't as comfortable as I thought it was. It was gorgeous to look at, But man, when you got out there in the middle of it, it was tough. You know, a lot of times we go through life with that same mindset. Man, that's going to be an easy life. You know, if this will happen and this will happen, it's going to be perfect. I mean, it's just, life is going to be easy. It's going to be smooth sailing. I'm not going to have any kind of issues. It is just going to be great. And then when we get out there in the middle of it, we lay down on an old rock, don't we? It just wasn't as pretty as we thought it was going to be. It didn't happen the way that we thought it should be happening. When we become a believer, when we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, I know I can never forget the emotion and the high that we had when we came back to Baton Rouge. It was such a great, I mean, we were literally on the mountaintop. And we went through all that thinking that, oh, it's just going to be smooth sailing from now on. No way. So many of us can wax eloquent when it comes to looking at things in the future and thinking things are going to be easy, there's not going to be any difficulty, and yet when we get out there and we get involved in it, we go through the trials and the difficulties that life comes. And we say, well, I guess this is just my burden to bear. I guess I'm just going to have to go through this. I'll just have to respond to this no matter what happens. You know, when I go back to school after summer and yeah, I'm hanging around with my friends that I used to smoke pot with and hang out with and do all this stupid stuff with. I'm not going to do any of that anymore. I'm going to be a whole lot better than that. And we fall back into peer pressure and we do the same stupid stuff. And then you know what we do? We begin to condemn ourselves. We begin to say, well, I guess maybe I didn't get saved. Maybe I'm not as strong as I should be. Maybe I just need to sit back. Maybe I just need to kind of go back out on the fringes and not be involved. You know, it'd be a whole lot easier. People wouldn't be looking at me. They wouldn't be listening to me. I wouldn't be leading anybody. And man, if I make a mistake, no big deal. Yet Scripture tells us the exact opposite, doesn't it? It tells us to put on the full armor of God so that you might stand. Not if, but when. Not if the problems come, but when they come. You might stand against the enemy. Why? Because you're standing in your own power? Because it's all about you? No. Because it's Christ in you. He is our armor. He is our hope. He is our strength. He is our ability to live the life that He wants us to live. Yet too often we fall through the cracks with this spiritual baggage that we're carrying along and we end up sitting down or worse, laying down. Saying, I'm out. I'm done. I disappear. I'm gone. And those relationships struggle and you wonder, what happened? What happened to Sue? She was so on fire. She was here every week. Man, I love to hear her sing. I love to see, she had a bubbly personality. What happened to Sue? I hope no one in here is named Sue. Reality is life is difficult. I've met people in all of my years and I talk to them and they say, preacher, you just don't understand. You don't know where I've been. You don't know what I've done. You can't grasp how difficult I've been. You don't understand. You know what I've discovered? They're right. I don't understand. I don't know what you've been through. I don't know what baggage you're carrying with you. I don't know. I don't know. I don't want to know. The reality is, the devil's going to use that every chance he gets to destroy you, to take away your joy, to take away your hope, to make you sit down, to lay down, to check out, to be non-existent. He'll use it. If he hasn't used it yet, folks, don't you ever think he won't use it in the future. because he certainly can, has, and he can. You see, our walk, if it's not tracked and guarded, we need to know that God has constructed and guided us by his master hand. That God knows our weakness as much as Satan does. And that he knows, that God knows how hard our boss is on us. That God knows how difficult our marriage is. That God knows what we did 10 years ago, 15 years ago. He was there. He saw it. He understands it. And he loves you in spite of it. Now, I don't know what you've been through. I don't know the baggage that you're handling. I don't know where you've been, and I don't know where you're going. The reality is, I don't need to know. But there is one who does know, who can know. What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Listen to this. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. Have we trials and temptations? Is there trouble anywhere? We should never be discouraged. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Can we find a friend so faithful who will all our sorrows bear? Jesus knows our every weakness. Take it to the Lord in prayer. I want to close on this last verse of this song. Are we weak and heavy laden? Cumbered with a load of care. Precious Savior, still our refuge. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Do thy friends despise, forsake thee? Take it to the Lord in prayer. In his arms he'll take and shield thee. Thou wilt find a solace there. Father, thank you for your word that dwells within us, that encourages us. And Lord, we pray this morning for those who have come into this building with emotional baggage that has gone back years and years and years, that today you might allow them to put all that in your hands, to put that baggage to you and to sever that tie and to allow you to bring a peace and a solace unlike anything they have ever known before. Father, we pray for believers that are today involved in a difficult situation, whether it's their home or their job, their children, whatever it might be. Father, that they will know that they are dressed in you. Lord, that they will know that they are speaking words that are encouraging. And Father, that when the time comes for the battle, that they will stand firm in you. Now, Father, as we come to this moment of closing, Lord, we just pray that you embed this in our hearts, that when we leave from here today, Lord, that we know that we have been in your presence. We love you. We praise you and we thank you. And in the name that is above all names, the name of Jesus, we ask these things. Amen. Amen, amen and amen. Amen. Well, I want to... Again, just remind you to... pray for Pastor and them as they are away and vacationing, enjoying their rest. I'm not sure when they're going to be home. Have you heard?
I think Wednesday.
Wednesday.
Okay.
Okay. Tuesday, Wednesday. Okay, good, good. We'll be back on track this Wednesday night. I want to encourage you to come out and be with us. For those of you who went on the cruise, you have to come here an hour early.
And, Galatians 2.
Do your penance. Sir?
Galatians 2.
Yeah, we're in Galatians chapter 2. And anybody y'all remember, I kind of gave you a little homework. Yes, ma'am. Yes. Where did the meat that was sacrificed in the ungodly temples go? Ungodly, not we have scripture that tells us where the meat went that was scratched, that was in the holy temple. All right, anyway, that's enough.
Don't forget it's Mission Sunday. The basket's in the back.
Mission Sunday and the offering that's in the back, give according. There are several other announcements that are in your bulletin. I know y'all know how to read, so we're going to let y'all read those at your pleasure. Let's stand up together, and you're dismissed. Thank y'all for coming.
And Jim Dixon next week.
Oh, Jim Dixon, next Sunday.
Awesome.